Good morning, Poplar Springs. It's so good to see all of you here. This is the largest crowd we've had in over a year, so it's great to see all of you. And we know most of you are still at home worshiping with us, so it's great to have you with us wherever you may be today. The only announcements we have are that there is adult Bible study happening on Sundays in the Family Life, or Wednesdays in the Family Life Center at 6, right? And youth is still meeting middle school at 5:30, and then we switch out high schoolers come at 6:30 in the youth room. Our prelude for the next few weeks will be from our handbells, and you'll see that they are not here today, but they came and practiced all through the month of February to prepare some seasonal music. So in the next few minutes, as you watch them play, quiet your hearts and minds and enter into worship with us.
Good morning. I'm Jimmy Queen, your Deacon of the Week this week. Please contact me with any concerns you have this week. A few folks we want to mention, besides the ongoing prayer list in the newsletter, continue to remember Susie Buckner, Ava Bryson. She's recovering at home from a broken wrist. Rebecca Eskridge is recovering from surgery. Kim Litton will be having back surgery on Tuesday this week. Tammy Wright and Nadine Johnson are in the hospital in Shelby. Sue Weaver, the sister of Carolyn Bess, is hospitalized with pneumonia. Jimmy Beatty is in Raleigh with his daughter. He's doing well in his chemo treatments, and he wants to thank the congregation for your prayers, and he is doing exceptionally well. That's great. The family of Janice Brumley, a friend of Heather Wright, who passed away this last week. And congratulations go out to Andrew and Laura Page with a new addition to their family, Jude Andrew Page. Join me in prayer. Lord, we come to you today so thankful for your many blessings. Lord, we lift up these members of our congregation and friends of our congregation. We lift them up to you, Lord, for healing, for comfort, for understanding. And Lord, we lift up those who take care of them, whether it be family members, friends, or those in the healthcare profession. Lord, lead, guide, and direct us in all that we do this week, and Be with us as we continue through this service. In thy name we pray. Amen.
That was impressive, folks. That was great. Luke and Emmeline have made it now. They have backup singers. So y'all are big time now. So we'll get our t-shirts out. We'll call them Emma Luke. That's what we'll call it. We'll put that. People have a way of putting these names together, so we'll call them that. We already have a number of groups. We've got the Acapulco Duet. We've got the Acapulco Quartet. We've got the Francis Family and featuring Galia. We've got a number of groups here, so it's good we got these today. We have them through the weeks. All right, the scripture today comes from Romans chapter 15, verses 1 through 9. This could be a controversial passage of Scripture, so we'll just bear with me as we share some of this information today. Paul could be controversial. He could say some things that really took people out of their comfort zone. It takes me out of my comfort zone occasionally. So just struggle with it with me. We who are strong are to bear with the failings of the weak and not please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbors for his good, to build him up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance and encouragement of the Scripture, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth to confirm the truths made to the patriarchs, so that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. Therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing hymns to your name. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that we'll get along, that we'll take the time to get to know one another, to talk to each other, to communicate, and get to know who we are. And I pray, Father, you'll bring a spirit of unity among us. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. I decided a long time ago I was the most fortunate child in the world. I was the baby. I was the baby in the family. Do we have any babies here, the baby in the family? You've got a great position. It's a great position to be in. I was a baby. I didn't know any better. So I never got blamed for anything. When I did something wrong, the learning experience was excused. My older brother and sister got blamed for a lot of stuff because they should have known better, but I didn't. And I got away with murder. I mean, not actual murder. I didn't kill anybody, but I got away with a lot because I didn't know any better, and they did. I was still learning. I was excused because I was the younger one, when in fact I was a brat. You never would have thunk that, would you? I was a brat, and I like to flaunt my liberty. You know, I can get away with it, and you can't. I know my sweet deal with Mom and Dad frustrated my brother and my sister. I know it did. I hear the frustration stories from many people who say the baby gets away with everything. And we do. I'm going to go ahead and let the cat out of the bag. We did. My siblings had options in the situation. They had options. There were options they had that they could use. They could have sold me into slavery, like the Old Testament Joseph, who liked to flaunt his liberty and flaunt his favoritism. I'm the favorite one. Daddy likes me more than he likes you because I'm the baby. Daddy even made for him a multicolored sport coat and didn't make it for the rest of the kids. And showed it to him and he said, "Look at my coat, it looks nice, doesn't it? You like it?" You're familiar with the story of Joseph, who liked to flaunt his liberty and his favoritism. And what they did was they put him in a hole and they sold him into slavery to the first caravan that came by. That would have been the option of choice, I'm sure, for my brother and sister, but it was not realistic in the 50s and 60s and 70s. That wasn't what you did. You didn't sell your little brother into slavery, though they wanted to. My brother Ed and sister Susie had options, though. They could wait it out. See if the family higher-ups, Mom and Dad, would see if I would change a little bit. They could wait it out. And see something even better. They could say, see if I could do better. Or if they could do something with me, or better yet, do something to me. They wanted to see that. We could duke it out. That was an option sometimes. Brothers and sisters, after school was let the fights begin. Y'all don't do that in your homes, but at our house it was a circus. Mom was at work and Dad was obviously at work. So we would duke it out sometimes. I remember one time in particular. This is how conniving I was. My brother, it was not my fault. Let me first say that. It was not my fault, but he was slinging me around pretty good. So I said, if I can reach my foot over here and put a black mark on the wall, I can tell my mom and Dad he threw me up against the wall. So he was slinging me around, and I went. So, now y'all kids, y'all take that home with you and remember this. And so what I did was, I looked over there, and I said, "Look where he had threw me up against the wall, Mom." And then little Andy was in pretty good position at that point. We'd duke it out. Let the fights begin. They could let the frustration lead into hatred. They could do that. That was impossible due to the fact that I was so sweet and cute. They couldn't hate me. And Mama wouldn't allow hatred in the house. We didn't hate people at the Oliver house. Or if they could just accept me, warts and all. We're from a Christian family, so we took this option, I think. I think we took this option. I think they endured me. The early church had similar options. They had similar options when it came to these new folks in the family. Paul ministered to the Gentiles, those Gentiles. They weren't like us. They were different people. And they had a problem with them. In our scripture today, Paul is addressing the correspondence to the Roman church. The church there consisted of some we might consider older siblings in the family. Consider the older siblings, the older folks. They'd been there a while. They were the Jewish Christians. They've been with God since the beginning. God chose them. And they were Jewish Christians. They've been on God's side for a long time. Well, off and on, so to speak. They were the older brothers and sisters in the family of God. The older brothers and sisters. And now they consider themselves the wiser older siblings in this new church established by Christ and his apostles. The new church, they were the elder statesmen in the church. The church was new. The church was developing its doctrine. They were trying to figure out who they were and what they were going to do and what they were going to believe. They were trying to decide what they were going to do. And everybody wanted their say. All these different groups wanted their say in what the church was going to be like. And there was concern among the older siblings about these new babies, these new ones in here, the new kids in the block. The Gentiles were getting away with murder or something like that. They're getting away with a whole lot of stuff. And they didn't like it. I mean, they ate meat sacrificed to idols. They had no food restrictions whatsoever. They could eat barbecue pork if they chose to do so. And they probably went out and said, "Give me the pulled pork barbecue sandwich. I'll have that, please." And ate it in front of these people. It bothered them. They're going to ruin this new church with their appetites, what they eat. It's going to make a difference in our new church. We don't want them eating that stuff. They weren't circumcised. Now, that's kind of a touchy topic there, so I'll let you explain that at home. But they hadn't participated in that surgical rite. They hadn't participated in that. That supposedly made them right with God. They hadn't participated in that. They saw this required surgery as optional. It was an option. You could do it or you couldn't do it. They're going to ruin the church if they don't make that surgery mandatory. It's going to ruin the church. Everyone will want to make the procedure optional. They want to make it an option for people. They didn't like that. They didn't observe the Jewish feasts and holy days. They didn't observe those feasts. They treat high and holy days with disregard. These are the days when they celebrated God and his work. And that's a good thing. That's a great thing. They didn't observe these days like they did. They didn't do the same thing they did. They were different people. And they had a past. They had a past for the most part. They were former pagans. 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 Godless people. Who didn't have a clue about what church was all about. Or what the church was supposed to be like. The Jewish Christians' thoughts were the inmates were running the asylum. The inmates are running the asylum. They're taking care of it. And Paul's on their side, they thought. Paul is advocating letting them off the hook, getting away with more than the older people of God were. Us established folks, we can't get away with anything, but these new folks are getting away with everything. And they didn't like the situation. They didn't like it. They didn't appreciate it. And the truth be told, they didn't like the new folks either. They didn't like those Gentiles. The old establishment feared they were losing control. Losing control, and sometimes we feel like that. Things change. Whereas in the Oliver house, Mom and Dad would sigh and say, "Can't we just get along?" Have you ever said that before? "Can't we just get along?" Paul had something else to say to these folks. He said to the household of Christ at Rome this, "We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not please ourselves. We want our way. We want it to be our way. We're to bear with the failings of the weak and not please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up or to build her up. We're to seek the good of the other person." And we talked about it last week. Our motivation is love for other people. We put our feelings aside sometimes, and out of love, we bear with one another. Now, not everybody's as easy to get along with as I am and as you are, but there's some people out there that are hard to get along with. We bear with them. We bear with them, bear with their weakness, and not please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, "The insults of those who insult you have fallen on me." He endured the insults of people. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. We have hope for those, and we have hope for each other. I'm sure the Gentiles were saying, "Well, there's hope for those old folks there." And the other folks are saying, "There's hope for them." There's hope. In other words, for the sake of Christ, get along. For the sake of Christ, get along. And he showed us how. Jesus showed us how. And their response could have been, "Really? Are you serious, Paul? We expect us all to get along. We're so different. There's no way we can get along. They believe a lot of different things that we don't believe. They believe in Christ. They believe in the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. That's a starting point. That's an important point to remember. And there could be differences after that. For Paul, it was not giving in to the Gentiles. It was not him giving in to them. It was not pampering them and saying, oh, you're going to be okay. Don't worry about it. It was not a win-lose situation. It was simply about unity in Christ. Unity in Christ, seeking a spirit of unity in the early church. And it was going to be a challenge. It was going to be a challenge. It was going to be difficult to do, to unify these two parties. It wasn't going to be easy. But God was up for the challenge then. He's even up for the challenge in our divisive days today. He's even up for it today. We can get along. It's possible. Christ did not insist on pleasing himself, nor should you or I. We should not insist on pleasing ourselves. Believe it just like I do, or don't believe it at all. We shouldn't insist on our own way. Christ didn't. God gives us endurance and encouragement as we follow his example. Putting others first, following the example of Christ, will lead us to acceptance and unity in the body of Christ. It will lead us there, even as different as we are. And finally, God gets the glory when we get along. You know, have you noticed how sometimes after church on Sunday, you go out to eat and you hear somebody talking, and you say, you know, that church over there, they don't get along. They fight like cats and dogs. They fight. They fight. Unity is an example of people that can get along. It's an example of people who can get along. And God gets the glory. I'm not doing anything good. God gets the glory. He gets the glory for that. You don't say, I'm doing a great job of doing that. You say, God gets the glory for bringing us together. Because in this impossible task to get people of differing views to come together like that and worship together, God does it. It's Him. And finally, we need to remember that. God gets the glory. And Paul believes it's possible. Paul believes it's actually possible that church, the church united, the church as a whole, not just Poplar Springs, but the church, Paul believes it can happen. He believes we can get along. Do you? Do you believe the church as a whole, the universal church, can get along? We had to get there to this sooner than later. We're a divided country right now. We are a divided country. There's actually hatred out there. We don't like the other side. We don't necessarily want peace sometimes. And we want some other options. We want some other options. This attitude has the potential to creep into the church. It can creep into the church because what's in society comes into the church because we're part of society and culture. It can come into the church. We need to be aware of that. In the Roman church and in churches today, there's some mindsets we need to be aware of. We need to be aware of. They're the more traditional who might be characterized by the statement, we ain't never done it this way before. There may be some who believe that. We've never done it that way before. We need to be considerate of that. And there are those more flexible and freer members of the congregation who might like to flaunt their freedom. Look at me, look what I'm going to do. And they possibly may just seek to aggravate the old guard. That's something they want to do, to aggravate. Old school versus new ideas. Even what some might consider to be done, some might consider to be wrong. Both sides can decide on a number of approaches. There are a number of approaches we can take as we look at this. First, there's the Barney Fife approach. The Barney Fife approach. Nip it in the bud. Nip it in the bud. That's the way it is. No questions, no struggling. You don't struggle with the scriptures. You take it like I say it. That's the way it is. I'm the preacher. This is what it is. Don't question me. The Barney Fife approach. See it my way or see you later. The injured horse approach. And those westerns I like to watch. I love a good western. Do you? I enjoy those. Drives Kim crazy. That's why I watch them when she's not there. There comes the heartbreaking time when the horse breaks his or her leg. Breaks her leg. And says, we're going to have to put her down. We're going to have to put her down. The heartbroken cowpoke says that. He takes the horse behind a boulder. And you hear the gunshot. Now, this is the old westerns. In the current westerns, you'll see them just, bam. You know, you'll go, ooh, that's ugly. But you hear the gunshot, and he shoots the wounded horse. We can opt to do the same thing in the church. No, we're not going to go shoot horses. Except many times, we do the same thing, except we don't take the injured party behind a boulder. We don't take the injured party behind a boulder. We shoot the wounded in plain sight. We shoot them in plain sight where everybody can see it in a very public manner. We decide another believer is beyond hope. He's done too much. He's said too much. The search for truth has simply gone too far. And perhaps this person even made some very public mistakes and made some very divisive statements. We forget all about redemption. We forget all about redemption, the important thing about redeeming that person and asking God to let them be a part of us. And we ought to just shoot the wounded. There's no hope. Just shoot them. Just put them out of their misery. And I'm not saying actually shoot them. I mean, I need to clarify that a little bit. But what we do is we just ostracize them and say they're not a part of us. Another is the popular approach today, which is growing stronger every day. Lump them, label them, and leave them alone. Lump them, label them, and leave them alone. Put all those who disagree with us in a category. Lump them. Put them there. That's what they are. Give them a label. Give them a label after you lump them. Because you can't hate people, but you can sure hate a label. You can hate a label. You can take that person out of the equation. You don't even associate with them or communicate with them. You just take them out of the equation. It's all about the designation that you give them. Liberal, conservative, Republican, Democrat, moderate, fence sitter, sponge, realist, pragmatist, optimist, pessimist. We give them a label and we hate them. We decide they're not one of them. We disregard the word Christian brother or sister in all those situations. We forget about the word Christian. We say that's not associated with them. That Christian is not fit for any of these situations, we think. We give them a label. But Paul offers another way. Another way, a better way. We might see it as a cop-out, but it's worth a try. It's found in verses 5 and 6. It's worth a try to think about it a little bit and pray about it and consider it just somewhat. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scripture, we might have hope. There's hope for people. There's hope for those people out there. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus. As we follow Christ Jesus, may He give us a spirit of unity and love. So with one heart and mouth we may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is our role model in everything, in everything. He endured betrayal. He endured betrayal. Folks betrayed Him. Friends betrayed Him. He endured opposition. He was opposed. He was tortured. He was beaten. He endured differences of opinion. And He did so with grace and mercy and understanding and compassion. The Scripture says, bear with one another. That's our command to endure. Bear with one another. Even associate, even pray, even talk to this person or persons. Endure the situation and these people. Encourage one another. Jesus took the time to encourage. He took the time to encourage. Can we do that? Case in point, the woman caught in adultery was encouraged by Jesus. We read the story. The righteous ones prepared to stone her, and not the man who participated in the act with her, but were ready to stone her. And Jesus said, let those of you who are without sin cast the first stone. Let you start throwing rocks. You start throwing rocks. And he probably looked at the biggest one there and said, you throw the first one. And they put their rocks down and left. And Jesus asked the sinner, where are your accusers? They're gone. And Jesus said, nor do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. And here's what isn't there. He didn't say, I'm watching you. I'm watching you. He said, go and sin no more. Encourage her. Bob Goff is one of my favorite authors right now. He says, you don't give up on people. We are a work of art. And God's still painting the picture. Yet we tell them to quit in the middle of it and stop and don't worry about it anymore. We've got it pegged. Don't finish our work. He's painting a picture. He's doing work of art. And He's not finished with us yet. Give God time to do His work. Give Him time. Jesus didn't change His belief on adultery. It was wrong. He chose mercy, forgiveness, endurance, encouragement, and hope. Encourage one another. Third thing is this, be unified in Christ. Be unified in Christ. When the church is unified in Christ, that means He is at the center. He's at the center of all we do. He's the source of our endurance and encouragement. He's the reason we endure and encourage. And when we employ these things in dealing with fellow Christians, we place our hope in Him. There's hope because of Him. That He will deal with the situation in His time, not ours. God, can you do something right now? Can you do something right now? No, we'll do it in His time. He'll do it in His time. And we are a unified church despite our differences when we allow Him to do His work. And God gets the glory as we accept others as He accepts us. God gets the glory. It's so important to remember that. Verse 17, accept one another just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. Do you believe you're accepted by God today? Do you believe He accepts you? Do you actually believe that? We all have our secret side. We all have our dark side. We have that. Do you believe He accepts you? He does. Warts and all, He accepts you. Or you can be accepted today if you don't feel that way by asking Him to forgive you and to come into your heart and life and be the center of your life. You can be accepted by God today. You can do that today. If He's speaking to you today, if He's talking to you today, if He's saying something to you today, tell Him you'll follow Him. Just say yes. He may be speaking to you today. Tell Him yes, and He will accept you today. And pass this along. Pass this acceptance along. Share it with someone else. And glorify Almighty God as you accept other people in His name. In His name. And let Him speak to you today. Let's pray together. Father, we find our unity in Christ. It's so important that we find that unity. We're all a different people. And Father, it's so hard and it seems impossible that we can find that unification. Father, we don't agree on everything, but we agree that You are Lord. And we find our salvation in You. And Father, I pray that we'll stress that as we come across those we have differences of opinion with. Give us peace of mind. Give us peace in the church. Give us peace in our country. Help us to work together to get the work done. Forgive us when we insist on our own way. And make us available to do Your will. You'll not force us to do anything, Father. You will not force us to do anything. But instead, You ask us to make the choice if we'll follow You or not. I pray that we'll choose to follow You. If someone today is struggling, Father, with following You, asking Jesus Christ to become their Lord and Savior, I pray, Father, You'll speak to them. Let them know that's the way to go. That's the best way to go. To accept Him, to live for Him. Let Him be the center of their lives. Father, if there's someone who's right now struggling with their Christian life, the Christian life has been kind of disappointing to them, and they feel like it's time to maybe make a change and to do things differently, I pray, Father, You'll speak to that person and they'll rededicate themselves to following You closely. Father, if there's someone here who's looking for a church home or someone listening who's looking for a church home, I pray that we might make ourselves available for those who may be looking for a place to become a part of the body of Christ. Father, I pray that You'll bless us as we go along our way this week. Help us to be a loving people, a people who show compassion and understanding, that we'll be unified in Christ. In His name I pray. Amen. Thank you.
Church family, it's wonderful to see you this morning. We're glad you've joined us for worship, and those online, thank you for joining us as well. I want to let you know of an important date, April 18th. That's a Sunday. It is still a little over a month away. But we've been talking as a staff, and you know, during this pandemic, we've not really been able to allow people to come up to make decisions whether to accept Jesus or to join our church. And we know that many of you probably have made decisions or are wanting to make decisions, and we want to give you a time to do that. So April 18th, that is two Sundays after Easter, if you have made a commitment for Christ, if you are wanting to be members of this church body, we are offering a commitment Sunday on that day. If that is you, please contact us as a staff, and we will let you know how we're going to do that in a COVID-safe way. So please contact us, let us know, so we can help you prepare for that Sunday, and we hope that you'll take part in that if that is you. I want to remind you again that Jimmy Queen is our Deacon of the Week, so if you need to reach out to anybody and you cannot reach anybody at the church, Jimmy will be happy to help you. And there is a lot of division, as Andy has talked about, so I encourage all of you, find a place, find a reason this week to be peace where you go. Would you join me as we pray? God, we are thankful to come together in your house. We're thankful to come together in spirit to worship you. And God, we have our differences, and we think differently, we believe differently on some things, but God, we are united in the fact that we are your people, we are your children, we are your church. God, may that unifying fact trample over everything else that might seek to divide us. And God, may we take the unity that we feel as your church, and may we spread that to your community and to your world. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Have a wonderful Sunday.